This is the Paul McGuire Report. On Paul McGuire. All across the planet, we see riots, stuff being burned up, cars being set on fire. And the riots are perhaps the largest in a number of the European Union nations. Riots in Germany, riots in France, and riots in other nations in the European Union, which are not being covered by the American media. Now, also, Great Britain is in the crosshairs, so to speak, because there are a lot of angry citizens of Great Britain who are upset with the fact that the current prime minister is seeming to be playing games with the passage of Brexit, which is supposed to be a done deal. But you see, it's kind of obvious, isn't it, who the pawns of the elite are? Who are the politicians that are truly working not for the people in their nation, but they're working for the globalist elite? So you have Macron in France. I mean, you just take a look at the guy. He looks like he was raised in a very privileged, very affluent family. He doesn't look like he's comfortable talking to the ordinary people of France or Paris, the working class or the middle class, nor does he have seem to have any understanding. He seems to be completely out of touch with the people of France and Paris, and how destructive these taxes are upon the people, like the gasoline tax. Now, only an out-of-touch royal figure would not understand, would not get why the people are taking to the streets and rioting. See, only somebody who lives in a castle with a moat, you know, and the only people he talks to are his fellow globalist elite friends and royalty. And that's reflected in his the countenance on his face and his facial mannerisms, etc. He looks aloof, and I think the reason he looks aloof is because he is aloof. And to prove that he's really aloof, after a number of days of rioting and things being burnt up and cars being set on fire, and, you know, 100 and whatever thousand it was, 160,000 or something, whatever the incredible number of people out in the streets rioting from both the left and the right and kind of like the middle, the upper class, not the upper class, no, they would never riot because they have everything to gain, but the middle class and working class all rioting after day of watching this. One would think that he would have some ability to learn from the learning curve, which he does not. So he makes a speech where he fakes it and gives he fakes a connection with the working class and the middle class. And people can see right through his fakery. And this even further annoys the people of France and the people of Paris. And so they riot again. I mean, how many times do you have to be a dummy before you get it? They didn't like it when he passed these taxes. People of France didn't like it. They let him know that. And then he went and passed them anyway because he was ignoring the people. And then they're upset, and he does something else. He actually raises the taxes, like the gasoline tax. And the people take to the streets in unprecedented numbers and riot. But being the dummy he is, we're now in round two of his learning curve. He still doesn't get it. So he gets on television, makes a speech to the nation, fires off some angry tweets to Donald Trump, which, by the way, Macron went out of his way to insult Donald Trump at a recent gathering with other world leaders. Macron had to go out of his way to pose and insult Donald Trump by saying that Donald Trump is not interested in the collective good, revealing by his choice of words that his thinking is a blend of globalist Marxism. See, globalists are not really Marxists. Globalists are power-hungry, money-hungry, would-be totalitarians, but they will fake being supporters of socialism or Marxism in order to seduce the people. And so he used the word the collective good. Do you think Macron is interested in the collective good? Do you think the globalist elite are interested in the collective good? If Macron was interested in the collective good, he wouldn't have raised the gasoline taxes. He was interested only in the good of the elite. That's why he's in trouble. He got caught. The people of France and Paris saw through it. The same thing is going on in Germany. Merkel, she is another European Union politician put in, obviously, by the globalist elite. Obviously. Why? Because she continues to flood Germany with this massive influx of migrants from militant, extremist Islamic nations, which destroys the economy and hurts Germany in every way. So the people in massive numbers have come out to the streets of Germany to protest. But she too, I mean, you didn't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out that the people of Germany had had it with this sea of migrants coming in, destroying their country. None of the European Union countries like this massive influx of migrants, because these migrants come from nations which have a hostility to the European culture, and they come from militant, extremist Islamic nations. Now, nobody in their right mind would open their borders to people that despise the nation that they're coming into. Nobody who's sane would do that. But people who are working for the globalist elite would do that, because the globalist elite have a very clear agenda. They want to destroy any semblance of what's called nationalism or independent national sovereignty, patriotism. They want to destroy anything that has to do with independent sovereign nation states or nationalism. And one of the key ways to do that is to destroy the very concept of a border, because you can't have an independent sovereign nation state without that nation having borders to separate it from other nations. When you destroy borders, you play right into the globalist one world plan, which is open borders, which is absolutely lousy and horrible for the working class and middle class of every nation in which this happens. But it is to the benefit of the globalist elite, because they want to deliberately destroy the very, whatever is left over in America or Europe of the Judeo-Christian consensus, the heritage of the European nations, or the heritage of America. They want to destroy that, because that represents Western values, which are based on Christian values. And you have to understand that the people that are behind this new world order despise Western values, Christian values, et cetera, et cetera. You have to understand how pathologically, how much hate they have for anything to do with an independent Christian nation state. So they're hoping, by flooding Europe with a completely different culture, which hates and seeks to destroy whatever's left of the European culture and heritage, then they can force all these European nations, because they will have destroyed their independent cultures. The elite want to force them into being part of a global government. It's the planned destruction of independent nations and cultures. That is their game plan. And anybody doubts that, they simply are uneducated and clueless and haven't done their homework, because the documentation goes back hundreds of years on this. Hundreds of years. This has been their master plan for a long time. Now, the same thing in the United States. The planned destruction of America and American culture by flooding America with people that come from a different culture than the people migrating into Europe. But there is one commonality of the people that are coming in to the United States, and that is, for the most part, they are coming here, unlike previous migrant groups. Previous migrant groups came here with only one thought in mind. They wanted an opportunity to work and to achieve the American dream by work. The cultural backgrounds of the people migrating into the United States illegally, they all come from nations where they've been programmed to expect the government of America to take care of them. In other words, they're programmed to be socialists and Democrats. They're coming here. I'm not saying they're not hardworking people. Don't get me wrong. They are hardworking people. But they've been programmed and indoctrinated into believing into socialism and Marxism, which is in opposition to the American way of life. They're coming here looking to government programs to take care of them. Whereas migrants in previous generations came here to work. They didn't come here to expect a handout. And these people have been told by socialist activists who are financed by billionaire capitalists, they've been told to expect America to pay for everything. Expect the American people to pay for everything. Free healthcare if you come to America, free education, free everything if you come to America. Now, nobody, again, with any brains, would allow their nation to be infiltrated with an opposing mindset, because it will destroy that nation. Yet, in both cases, secretly, behind the scenes, it is the globalist elite, it is the super capitalists of the globalist elite that are financing and orchestrating this mass migration into the U.S., into the European Union nations. Notice that. And also notice, by the way, to all the Marxist professors at all the universities in America, all the socialist professors, socialist students, socialists and Marxists in America, notice that with all this mass migration, notice something very interesting. None of the people who are illegally coming into Europe or trying to come into America, notice that they're not trying to come into Russia or China or any other communist nation. Notice that very carefully. In fact, zoom in on it. Really close focus. Zoom in on the fact that all these migrants looking for a better way of life are not trying to sneak across the border into Russia, China, North Korea, etc. Why is that? The reason none of these migrants are coming, trying to get into communist nations like China and Russia and so many other communist nations, is because when you do a real zoom in on these communist nations, we constantly hear this rhetoric from socialists and Marxists about how a Marxist society, a communist society, will fairly redistribute the wealth and bring about social justice. So you've got millions and millions and millions of suckers in the United States with college degrees, and their brain-dead professors who peddle this garbage propaganda that socialism, Marxism, communism will be beneficial because it will bring about true social justice and true wealth redistribution. Okay. That's why they're conning millions and millions and millions of people of many different races, college educated, many different age groups are being brainwashed into believing that communism, socialism, and Marxism is their solution, because only those systems offer true social justice and true fair redistribution of wealth. Okay, let's zoom back in on these communist nations like China and Russia and the migrants. Notice that none of the migrants are trying to sneak into communist Cuba, communist China, communist Russia, communist North Korea, or any of the other communist nations. Notice that. And you know why they're not trying to sneak in? First of all, these so-called communist nations, which are the so-called champions of social justice and fair redistribution of wealth, that's a lie. These communist nations would shoot to kill anybody who tried to sneak into their nation. But they don't really have to worry about it, because nobody is trying to sneak into their nation. And why is that? Because all the migrants, whether it's from the militant Islamic nations of the Middle East or whether it's from the migrants from South America, they have enough brains to know, unlike the countless millions in America, they have enough brains to figure out that there is no social justice in these communist nations. There is no fair redistribution of wealth. And if they manage to sneak into any of these so-called benevolent workers' paradise communist nations, they would be arrested, thrown in a prison camp or a concentration camp, or killed. Nobody would help them. Nobody would give them a free education. Nobody would redistribute the wealth to help them. Nobody would give them social justice. The whole thing is a farce. And the migrants that are sneaking into European unions from the militant Islamic nations, and the migrants sneaking in from South American countries into America, they're smart enough to know that a communist Marxist nation is a dictatorship, it's an evil thing, and they're not going to sneak in there. They would never do that, because they know they're not going to get any social justice or fair wealth redistribution or anything else. Instead, the nation that everybody's bashing, I mean, literally, the brains of these Marxist professors, these tenured professors in all these colleges and universities, are like petrified wood. Their brains have rotted. They're not capable of any true thought process. You just look at their faces. And they peddle this Marxist lying garbage. Nobody believes in it. The only people that believe in it are the students that they hold captive through bullying. Because if the students in these American colleges and universities don't write the Marxist dribble that their professors demand and the political correct answers that their professors demand, they're going to fail them or kick them out of class, and they won't graduate from a university or college. So they got a captive audience. But it doesn't work, see? It simply exposes what a communist nation is really all about, a dictatorship for the benefit of an elite. That's what it's about. And all these, we got people in America who make films and everything else, they're all enamored with socialism and communism. But you notice none of them pick up and move to a socialist or communist nation. They're too smart for that. They know it's a prison. So they just stay in America and bash America. Okay, so what's behind all this? What's causing all this? Why are so many people brainwashed? Why do so many people don't have the ability to perceive the truth? They don't have the ability to see the truth because they're brainwashed. They're being subjected to propaganda, persuasion, scientific mind control through the mainstream media and through the entertainment industry and music industry and the cultural stars and many, you know, big time politicians are speaking this groupthink where they hate Trump. And why do they hate Trump? Why do they all hate Trump? Because all these people who are denouncing Trump, like, you know, De Niro, who pounds his hands on his chest like a teenage male that just went through puberty. That's the emotional level of his IQ. De Niro is pounding his chest like he's like a grotesque distortion of whatever. You know, I used to think he was a great actor. He was one of my favorite actors. I really liked De Niro's work from way back. But I guess about 4 years ago, I heard him speak at some political rally. I think it was in Florida. I can't remember. And he went on for about 40 minutes. And I was horrified. Here was this actor that I really respected. I thought he was a great actor. Here was this actor that I greatly respected. And his knowledge of politics, economics, geopolitics, when he spoke, it was like listening to somebody with a nursery school education speak. The man was a complete airhead. And I can't look at him the same when I see him in a movie because I realize the guy's an airhead. That only an airhead would pound on his chest like a gorilla, you know, motivating people to go to the streets against Trump. So, airhead, really airhead, and that's being generous. Okay, so people who are dumbed down through the educational process, people are dumbed down because of the mainstream media, they swallow all this stuff up. They're easy to brainwash because they've been dumbed down. And then the mainstream media, they all communicate the news from the same perspective. They all peddle the exact same message of propaganda. And the mainstream news media is a George Orwellian propaganda machine. That's what it is. It's a propaganda machine. They distort the truth. They lie, they hide the truth, and the reason they all say the exact same words in the exact same way is because they're all the people in the mainstream media are reading from the exact same script. None of these people are thinking independently and writing this stuff. They're too stupid. Collectively, idiocy is reigning in the mainstream media. These are not bright people. They've mastered the art of social fakery so that they can chit-chat and have the most superficial knowledge of the news. They have the most superficial knowledge, like cocktail party talk. But they've mastered the art of chit-chat so it appears to people who are ill-informed that they know what they're talking about, when in fact, they've just mastered the art of sounding like they know what they're talking about. And in reality, they have no idea what they're talking about. To compound the problem, they won't admit publicly on the air. Privately, they know when they're drinking themselves into oblivion at night or taking massive doses of whatever illegal or legal medication they do to knock out their consciousness at night, because they realize they're behaving like prostitutes all day long. I mean, those of them that are more intelligent or have any intelligence, they know they're selling out. They know they've sold their soul. Because the reality of the matter is they're given a script that ultimately is created by the globalist elite. And then it's distributed to all these name personalities on television news and, you know, newspapers and all the rest of that stuff. And if they deviate from the script at all, they get fired. If they dare, even by accident, to say anything that's not perfectly politically correct, they get fired. Now, it's all selective because you're only fired if you say something that opposes liberalism. You can insult Christians and Christianity and Trump and conservatives. You can insult, defame, belittle, use names, use hate speech against anything that's conservative, Christian, anything that has to do with American values, patriotism. That's open season. You can insult and violate every rule in the world. And your job is protected. In fact, you might get a promotion. So all of the media is controlled by three corporations, just three corporations. That's a fact, by the way. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. And these three corporations are controlled by just a handful of men or women who are the globalist elite. And so the globalist elite controls with an iron fist all of the mainstream media, and the content has to be all globalist, pro-globalist, and whatever the globalist elite are for, that's what the media is going to be for. Now, some of you may have friends that are doubtful of this. I mean, this is not going to be the most socially acceptable response on my part. Many of you have friends that would doubt that this is true. Well, they call it a conspiracy theory. And quite frankly, my response to them, I don't know if I'd say it to their face. I think I would be polite and not say it to their face. But essentially, between me and you, they're idiots. They are total idiots. They're totally clueless. They have no idea what they're talking about. And I don't suggest that you say it to their face, and I really wouldn't say it to their face either, but I would think it. And I wouldn't repent over it because it's not anger. It's a fact. They're stupid. They're uneducated. Uneducated is stupid. Because the facts about who's controlling our media has long been known. I'm going to read you something that I think will blow your mind. And this has to do with who was controlling all of the media in the 1940s and before that. And I think you're going to find it very interesting because this is not new. What I'm suggesting to you, that the media is under total control of the globalist elite, this didn't begin with Trump. This goes back to the 1940s and the early 1900s. And let me prove it to you. This is the Paul McGuire Report, by the way. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You know, when you're considering getting a Christmas gift for somebody, why don't you give them a gift that brings truth into their lives? Why not? Instead of just giving them some dumb thing, give them something that brings truth in their lives. There's a lot of ways you can do that. But one of the ways you can do that is we have a lot of discounts right now on a number of books, packages at paulmcguire.us that would make great Christmas gifts. And we have a DVD series that's up on paulmcguire.us. It's not a DVD series, it's a video, excuse me. But that would make a great gift, and that'll be up in the next day or two. So visit paulmcguire.us or get a copy of Trumpocalypse. The book is the number one selling prophecy book in the world. And the subtitle of Trumpocalypse is The End Times President, A Battle Against the Globalist Elite and the Countdown to Armageddon. And it's written by me and Troy Anderson, my writing partner and co-author, who's a Pulitzer Prize nominated journalist. But in Trumpocalypse, A Battle Against the Globalist Elite, we're talking about up to the second. This book is so up to the second. It explains to you, if you don't know why, everything that's going on that you're seeing in the news today, yesterday, this week, we talk about in Trumpocalypse. And then we talk about the origins of all this in our book, The Babylon Code. Both would make great gifts.
Let's go back to the factual basis of who controls all of the mainstream media in America and Europe. But let's just talk about who controls all of the mainstream media in America. And this goes back a long way, a long time before social media and the internet. What we need to understand when we understand who has the power, the real power in the United States, and how does global government come about? Global government comes about through a man named Cecil Rhodes. Now, Cecil Rhodes adopted the idea of global government from people like the Greek philosopher Plato, with Plato's Republic, where he envisioned, or actually, he believed that Atlantis actually existed and that it was run by 10 philosopher kings, an elite. And so it was kind of a global government. But in the 1890s, or actually before the 1890s, Cecil Rhodes began planning to create a new kind of global government that would, whose power would flow from Great Britain, but not just generally Great Britain. A lot of people don't understand this, but when you go to Great Britain, you have the City of London, which the tourists all see, or the City of London, which most people are familiar with. But within the City of London, there is a more powerful, secretive city called the City, or also known as the City of London. So what I'm saying is that there are two cities of London. The one that the tourists and the one that you see on television, that City of London. But buried within the traditional City of London is one of the power centers of the world, if not the power center of the world, which is the true City of London, which is often referred to simply as the City. And it is there that the international banking families, the wealthiest banking families in the world, specifically the House of Rothschild, it is from there they rule the world financially. And it's from there they control America financially. Now, you never hear about it because they don't want you to hear about it. But that is the center of power on planet Earth. And so Cecil Rhodes made an incredible fortune. The amount of money he made was unprecedented, especially with his mining operations in South Africa and other parts of Africa, and his diamond operations. And he accumulated one of the greatest amounts of wealth ever accumulated by any single individual. But Cecil Rhodes was a very high-ranking Freemason. He had some occult beliefs. He believed that Britain was destined to rule the world. And that so he invested his vast fortune towards the goal of creating a one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system through the power elite that exists in the city of London. And so it was from there that the Rockefeller family, you know, globalist fortune flowed out of the House of Rothschild. The Morgan fortune, and many of the other international banking family fortunes. In fact, it is the same international banking families that control the highly secretive Federal Reserve System in the United States of America, which controls all of our money, which controls interest rates, controls our monetary policy. But the full control of all the money in the United States was designed by our Constitution for the control of the U.S. monetary system was supposed to be in the hands of we the people through the Congress. But the international bankers, especially from the city of London, came in and they managed to pass the Federal Reserve Act. And so it is a private, secretive group of international bankers, largely from London, who control our entire monetary system secretly. And according to the laws that they devised, our government can't look into them, hold them accountable. We're not allowed, when I say we the people and our government are not allowed to know what their budgets are, what their who the directors are in the Federal Reserve, what their monetary plans are, or anything about them. It's totally secret. So we have a totally secret society running, in effect, America. Because as one of the original Rothschilds said, I don't care, he said, who's president or who's prime minister, Rothschild said. All I care about is the person who controls the money system of a nation. And then Rothschild said, I don't care, you know, who you have for president or prime minister. If I can control the money system of a nation, I can control the entire nation, including the government and the prime ministers and the presidents, etc. And so that's exactly what they've done. They've created economic power that is so great through their central banks, which operate in Europe, and the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a central bank that operates in the United States, that they essentially control the world, and they control the media, all of the mainstream media, and they control, to an enormous degree, our political system and everything else. But you see, notice that the mainstream media will never tell you the truth about the financial system, who really owns it. Notice that the mainstream media will never tell the truth about politics or tell you the truth about anything. And for you to believe that the mainstream media is telling you the truth, you drank the Kool-Aid, man. You drank the Kool-Aid in some Jim Jones cult. And that can cause you to die, by the way. Because no rational person would buy the endless baloney that we're being told through the mainstream media. So you can understand how this works, right? The mainstream is controlled and owned by the international banking families, the globalist elite. They control all of the mainstream media. These same globalist elite and international banking families control our entire monetary system, which means they control the political system. Got it? So the mainstream media is never, ever going to tell you, for example, that the reason that they're attacking President Donald Trump 24/7 and that all these constant inquisitions and investigations about him are unending. They're not going to tell you the truth, which is President Donald Trump is a threat to the globalist elite and the international banking families because he wants to make America an independent, sovereign nation and restore our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Now, most of you think the Bill of Rights and Constitution is intact. No, it's not. It's been hacked into pieces. There's some of it left, and we need to rely on whatever is left of it, but it's been, to be blunt, raped and plundered a long, long time ago. But you wouldn't know because the educational system is under the control of the globalist elite and the international banking families. They control the United Nations. They're the ones behind the creation of what is called climate change. And they have a goal, which is a one-world government. Now, we have to understand that they're involved in all these wars, by the way, because they make money on wars. They're involved in all the wars, and they're involved in all the stock market crashes because they made a fortune in the stock market crash of 1929, an absolute fortune. And they caused it, deliberately it was coming. The international bankers knew it was coming, and they could have stopped it. But you see, the stock market crash allowed them to buy up massive assets for pennies on the dollar. And so back in the 1940s, there were a number of U.S. senators and other prominent people who dared to speak out against the Citi. And they said this. At one time, one major senator said that just 100 men control the entire economy of the United States. But then he revised his statement after further research and said, I have to change. And by the way, people accused him of being a nut for saying that. But a year later, he came back and he had to revise what he said. He said, after I studied the matter further, I found that these 100 men that I said control the entire U.S. economy, when you dig deeper, they work with interlocking directorates and secret organizations, etc. So he said, what is really true is that it's only 12 men, just 12 men who control the entire U.S. economy. Because the so-called 100 men are all secretly working for just the 12 men. So just 12 men control the U.S. economy. And this was in the 1800s, by the way. And then people have said that it's just 12 men that control the global economy. And that is not far-fetched when you understand the nature of the global economic system and how it's controlled by the City of London and the Rothschild family and the other international banking families. And they use, by the way, the Bank of England as kind of their shell company. And they use the royal family as kind of their pawn in manipulating these efforts. And their goal, the city, the Rothschilds, their goal is to bring about a one world government and a one world religion and a one world economic system. That is their goal. And they have been about that business for hundreds of years. So secretly, behind the migration struggle in America, the people trying to come in illegally at the border, secretly behind the illegal migrants coming across the borders into Europe, secretly behind the reason for the riots of the middle class and working class in Paris, France, and the reason that the middle class and working class in America, as well as the working class and middle class of many other nations around the world, have steadily lost their income and their level of prosperity over the last 30 or 40 years entirely due to international trade treaties, which the European Union, by the way, was created through a successive series of international trade treaties. And what trade treaties are is they're just a stealth mechanism to do an end run around the Constitution or the people of any given nation. But who's behind the trade treaties? Who were behind the trade treaties that formed the European Union? It's the same people. It's the globalist elite. It's the international banking families. And they are the one worlders, you see. They are the one worlders. So, all this unrest in Europe is caused by the greed and the lust for power of the globalist elite that own Europe. They don't care if the working class and middle class are poorer and poorer and poorer. That's why they were in favor. Macron is just a puppet of the globalist elite. The globalist elite are the puppet masters. Macron is just a stupid puppet. Merkel is a stupid puppet of the globalist elite. And the Prime Minister of Great Britain appears to be a stupid puppet of the globalist elite. And we have many American politicians that are puppets of the globalist elite. That's why we're having the confusion. Now, on top of that, this part you really need to grasp. The entire mainstream media is totally controlled by the globalist elite. The entire social media internet is controlled by the globalist elite. You're starting to get the picture now? And they are at war through their own writings. They are at war with Christianity. They are at war with the Christian institution of marriage. They are at war with the Christian religion. They are at war with a right and a wrong, a biblical right and a wrong. They are at war with patriotism, nationalism, and independent sovereign states. They are totally at war with all this. Because you see, their vision of a one-world government is Luciferian in nature. It's Antichrist in nature. It's part of the same stuff that happened in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. God came down to ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, and ancient Babylon was the world's first new world order. It was the world's first global government, global religion, and economic system. Why did God judge this new world order and this global system? He judged it because he looked into the hearts of man and he saw that the hearts and intents of mankind in building this new world order and global system was Luciferian in nature. It was a satanic game plan. And God judged it by separating them into independent sovereign nation states. Now, the Bible in the book of Revelation warns us again that Mystery Babylon is going to return in the last days. And what is Mystery Babylon? It's this satanic world system that originated in ancient Babylon. So the New World Order and the one world government and the one world religion and the one world economic system and the Antichrist, who's the head of the one world government, and the false prophet, who's head of the one world religion and the one world economic system, and the false prophet, who's in charge of the mark of the beast system, 666, and the cashless society. All of this is, in a nutshell, everything you read in Revelation is describing this new world order, this global system that the elite are trying to put together right in front of us. In other words, Bible prophecy warns against this new world order and this global system, the very system that the globalist elite are trying to put together, the very system that the media and the school systems are brainwashing our children into becoming, into perceiving themselves as citizens of the world and not citizens of the United States. That is why there's the constant propaganda war, the constant negative news coverage, the constant investigations going against President Trump, because he is not going along with the plans of the New World Order. He's a nationalist. Now, to ignorant Christians, and they're a dime a dozen, and I'm not being unkind, by the way, I'm being factual. To ignorant Christians, they would say, oh, well, what does this have to do? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. What does this have to do with Jesus? When you know, if you hear somebody talking like that, I mean, you need to feel sorry, really. What does this have to do with Jesus? Well, have you read Jesus's word, the Bible? It has everything to do with Jesus. The subject that I'm talking about now has absolutely everything to do with Jesus Christ. And for somebody, and I meet him all the time, to suggest that the information I just gave you is not important because what does it have to do with Jesus and my salvation and preaching the gospel? I hear that all the time, and I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned that any person, man or woman, who calls themselves a woman of God could come up with such a ridiculous statement. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for them. But then again, it doesn't surprise me because they're attending churches that forbid the teaching of Bible prophecy. They censored the teaching of all prophecy out of the Bible. And because of that, they have no clue as to what the major theme of God's word is in the Holy Bible. There is a major theme to it. Any playwright, any novelist, any musician, anybody who writes a speech can tell you there's always a beginning, middle, and an end. Well, the Bible has a beginning and a middle, but Christians don't want to hear about the end. But you can't understand the beginning and the middle unless you understand the end. And here's what the Bible says. It says in the last days, and we're right in the middle of the last days, and this new world order and this global government and this global religion and this global economic system is rising all around us. This globalist elite that want to make the United Nations the global government is rising all around us. They have the technology of the mark of the beast invented, 666. They can implement it anytime they want. It's already here. The signs of the times that Jesus Christ talked about have been happening with increasing frequency every year, beginning in 1948 with God's super sign, the miraculous restoration of the nation of Israel. So what does this have to do with the Bible and Jesus Christ and salvation? Well, if you read the book of Revelation, you would know. So let me break it down to you. Not that you aren't reading the book of Revelation, but people you know don't read Revelation. The first thing we learn a lot of things in the book of Revelation. We read that the entire purpose for the need of Jesus Christ to die for our sins, we read the meaning and purpose behind Christ dying for us on a cross. And what happens to us if we die in our sins? We go to hell. We go to the lake of fire. We stand before the great white throne of judgment. They don't want to teach people that. Well, God wants you to teach it. And then the other thing is, the entire message of the Bible is that in the last days, and Jesus talks about this before we get into the book of Revelation. He talks about it in the book of Matthew and other gospels. Jesus is talking about that in the last days, there will be false messiahs, false Christs, false teachers, false prophets. And we have that everywhere. Okay? And then
we are told that in the last days, there's going to be a seven-year period of time called the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period, many people believe, begins immediately after the Church of Jesus Christ is raptured. But there are opposing views as to the timing of the rapture. Many believe in a pre-trib rapture, some believe in a mid-trib rapture, or a post-trib rapture, and there are variations of those belief systems. I'm not here to debate that, because I spent years teaching this at a Christian college and seminary in detail. And there's a place for that teaching, but to do this, it requires endless hours of teaching. And there are people whose ministries, or they have been called by God to teach on the subject of the rapture. So I defer that to them, because even though I will teach on it, the Lord has called me to teach on other powerful truths in the book of Revelation that are totally ignored, whereas the topic of the rapture, etc., is not ignored. A lot of teachers from all different theological camps who teach extensively on that. But there's not a whole lot of Christians in this world that we live in now who understand what the whole thing is about. The tribulation period, also known as the time of Jacob's trouble, we don't read, by the way, in the book of Revelation, after Jesus Christ speaks to the churches of the seven churches of the apocalypse, we don't read about a church. And that's one evidence that those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture would use to support that it's a pre-tribulation rapture, because the church is not mentioned in the book of Revelation after Christ talks to the seven churches of the apocalypse. Then there's a complete absence of the church. Okay, now, during the tribulation period, the Antichrist comes on the scene. And this one world government, this one world religion, and this one world economic system comes on the scene at the tribulation. So this new world order and the one world government, one world religion, one world economic system that the Bible predicts in many prophetic scriptures all comes into realization during the tribulation period. This is when the mark of the beast, 666, is distributed. These are when these cataclysmic judgments are poured out by God upon the earth. And yet we still have, in this tribulation period, the Antichrist attempting to deceive hundreds of millions of people, the false prophet performing supernatural signs that are so convincing that even the elect, that means believers, will be tempted strongly to believe in the Antichrist as being God. The great delusion, the great apostasy, or the great falling away. And when the Antichrist sets himself up in the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem, which is called the Abomination of Desolation, he demands that the entire world worships him as God. Because remember, the Antichrist is indwelt by Lucifer or Satan, and Lucifer or Satan has always wanted to be God. This happens 3.5 years into the tribulation period. At that point, when the Antichrist demands to be worshiped as God, this ignites the latter part of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, where the great wrath of God is poured out. So there's this super intensification of the judgments of God upon the earth, because the Antichrist is now saying that he's God. And God begins to send cataclysmic judgments down upon the earth. But why? because of the existence of a satanic world order headed up by the Antichrist and the false prophet and the whole mark of the beast system, 666. That's why. The very thing that God judged ancient Babylon for in Genesis 11. We read about this return of Mystery Babylon throughout Revelation. And it's called Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. So again, we see that this system that the globalist elite believes in, the system of globalism, the system of global government, the system of a one world government, and a one world system, and a one world religion, and a one world economic system, is a satanic system. It's a satanic system. It's not just an idea. It's a satanic system. And it's so diametrically opposed to God's plan for mankind that God judges it, and he continues to pour out his judgments throughout the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Then finally, as the Antichrist and his forces, the military forces of many nations, the Antichrist, the fallen angels, and all those human beings who have accepted the mark of the beast, they invade Israel in the last days at the Battle of Armageddon. And this is the greatest culmination of battles and wars in mankind's history. It's known as the War of Armageddon or the Battle of Armageddon, where the armies of hell and Lucifer, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back from heaven at the second coming with the armies of heaven, with all God's angels, and they they wage war against each other in the Valley of Megiddo in Israel at Armageddon, where the Lord Jesus Christ defeats Lucifer. He defeats the false prophet, the Antichrist, and all the fallen angels and all the people that worship or who follow the Antichrist. Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, defeats them once and for all. And then this is it. Forces of Satan are forever. They're sent into the lake of fire, a cosmic prison from which they can't escape. And then there is going to be, at that time, a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ will rule and reign planet Earth from Jerusalem, and David will be his co-regent, and there'll be a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And then, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And then eternity begins. Paradise is restored. The defeat of Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophets, all the people who serve Satan, all the fallen angels, the defeat will be so permanent that they will find themselves, all these rebel beings and angels will find themselves locked into an inescapable cosmic prison for all eternity, called the Lake of Fire. And God's people will inherit and possess the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, in their glorified bodies, and they will rule and reign with Christ forever, and they will live in paradise. And see, this, the wickedness of this present world system, which is satanic, will be totally destroyed. So what we're doing now, what you and I are doing now, is Jesus Christ told his church, that's you and me if you're a Christian, very clearly that we're to occupy the land until he comes. We're to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ until he comes. We're to make disciples of all nations until he comes. And we're to be busy about our business. We're to be faithful. Not passive, not asleep, not out to lunch. We're to be faithful in proclaiming the truth, because we're in a great spiritual battle right now. And so our job, my job, your job, is simply to be faithful. And I want to encourage you in that note, to be faithful with what God has called you to do. And also want to exhort you to be faithful to help us with what God has called us to do through Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church as we expand further the television ministry, as we expand the radio outreach, as we expand every form of social media, television, radio outreach, books distribution. And the goal that we have is to reach as many people as we can, as fast as we can, because we know that this time of open doors without censorship is not going to last forever. So we need to be faithful while the doors are open. And I thank every one of you who have made that possible by being spiritual warriors and praying intercessory prayer over me, my family, and this ministry. I thank those of you that distribute our media and do end runs around the censorship bots and algorithms. And I want to thank every one of you that go before the Lord and you obey whatever God tells you to do in your donations and contributions. That's being faithful. That's being faithful, because together we can make a difference. We really can. And together, I believe God wants to extend the time of our freedoms in America, because we're the only nation really on planet Earth that has the capabilities and the possibilities of continuing to preach the gospel throughout all the world, make disciples of all nations, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's very naive when people say, well, if America goes down, God will just raise up another nation. That's true. God could do that if he wanted to. But God has made a tremendous investment in America, starting with the Pilgrims and Puritans. God did not give us all these capabilities. It's clearly the will of God that America continues to be free and strong, spiritually especially, in the times that we live in. And that means we need to spread the message of life and truth. And we need to be faithful about it. And we need to do it with all our heart, soul, and mind. I believe God wants to extend our freedom. There's no other nation on planet Earth that is even remotely equipped to do the job that God's called us to do. Now, I believe we can blow it. I believe God can have a will and plan for America and the Christian church in America. But if we're disobedient, if we refuse to hear him, if we refuse to obey him, then God can and will pull the plug on our blessings. So we shouldn't take our blessings lightly. I don't think you do anyway. I know I don't. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire. Remember to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.